Sometimes we don't think about that when we pass in this life, we go on to heaven. Not everybody will stay there, because the Bible says first comes death and then the judgment, because Jesus will be the judge. And everybody's going to go there, but not everybody will stay there. But if you accept Christ into your life, you've got a ticket to remain in the kingdom. That's pretty cool. And if you don't, well, there's another place that you'll spend eternity, and I don't think any one of us ever want to do that. Your friend, Jesus, a merciful friend. I think it was yesterday that they celebrated 250 years of the Marine Corps. Now, they've been celebrating the branches of the service upcoming with the 250 years that our country has been founded. So yesterday was the Marine Corps. And I think all of the military branches, I've come to find out, have an unofficial hymn. Not necessarily the song that you sing, but they got a hymn that goes along with every military branch. I think the Navy hymn is Eternal Father, Strong to Save. The Air Force hymn, I think, is Lord, Guard, and Guide the Men Who Fly. And I think you can look it up. I looked up some of these on the internet, and it's amazing. There's a former Air Force chaplain by the name of Jimmy Lindsay. And when Donald Trump, in his first term, established the Space Force, which was another branch of the military, Chaplain Lindsay thought, wow, I think that's a really neat thing. And I also think that the Space Force, an idea, is really a thing. He said, I think they need their own hymn too. Now, Chaplain Lindsay is a highly trained seminarian, expert at Hebrew, and he is also a musician who served alongside of men and women who risked their lives for our country. So Lindsay wrote a hymn for those who will defend America in the form beyond the earth, in the skies. It's a beautiful song. You can find it on the internet also, that begins with a prayer asking God to watch over all those who travel into the perilous beauty of outer space. It's an incredible age that you and I live in. We can launch rockets into space. We can explore the heavens. It's our friend who created this vast universe that we live in, a starry universe, if you would. At night when you look up in the stars, it just looks like somebody took the stars and just threw them out there, like we do sometimes with tinsel and things at Christmas time, the glitter. And you wonder how in the world they got up there. But perhaps the creation of the universe was more or less easy compared to a couple of other endeavors that Jesus helped create, because he was with God from the foundation of the earth. He was there. We don't think about it. We think about Jesus only walking here on earth back in the first century, but he was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He was there at the beginning of creation. And since he established an awful lot of things, you would think it would be easier for God to create the world for him than it would be to save you and I from hell. But think about it. The Lord didn't have to become a man and sacrifice his own life to create the universe. God didn't have to forsake his son to form the grass and the trees. With a simple word, God created light. Let there be light. But when it comes to saving souls, that cost was higher than we can even imagine. God himself became human. He suffered immense pain. He died to the peril of the cross. And then to rise back to life again. All in order to forgive our sins and give us eternal life. He didn't have to do any of that. He didn't have to give us a plan of redemption for us and for the angels that rebelled against him also. Humanity was fallen. fallen and deprived and wicked, continually disobeying His will. But still, He chose to love us. He decided that He didn't want us to spend eternity without Him. And He wanted to spend eternity with us, even if it broke His heart. That's mercy. Have you ever considered those miracles as a heavier lift for Him that created the world and created us in His image? It's one thing when we read in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then also in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now I think both realities are full wonder and mystery, as they are so different. This line of thinking had come to me when I was studying the book of Luke, especially chapter 5. And once when Jesus was ministering to a small setting of people, they brought Him a young man with some physical challenges. In fact, he was paralyzed. And Jesus looked at him and He said in Luke chapter 5, verse 20, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Oh, that upset the ones that was around Him, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and some of the Jews. But I noticed that first word in that theme of the book of Luke, Jesus called us friends. But the Lord's critic honed in on four other words that He said. Your sins are forgiven. Now, the Sadducees, the leaders of the law, were furious when He said that because they knew only God Himself could forgive sin. Jesus was, in effect, claiming to be God. Can you imagine this guy saying, only God can forgive sin? And now here Jesus is telling this man, your sins are forgiven, take up your mat and walk. And he did. Our Lord knew what they were thinking, just like He knows what you and I are thinking even before we think it. He's an amazing God. The devil can play tricks on your mind, but he can't read your mind. But God knows your mind. And through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can communicate with God in that wonderful way. Get up and walk. I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. So He said to that paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, get your mat, and go home. Your sins have been forgiven. And the man who had just received this invisible forgiveness in his soul received total healing in his body. He did. He got up, he rolled up his mat, and he went home. Now the point that Jesus was telling them was lost on them. But it shouldn't be lost on you and I, because He said, it's easier for me to heal this man than for me to forgive his sins. But I will give him outward healing to prove to you that I have the ability to forgive sins because I am God manifested in the flesh. Now, healing that person was relatively easy for Jesus because others in the Bible have the gift of healing and they would do some similar thing. But, you know, I like the buts and the ifs, but forgiving sin is something that required the Savior to shed His own blood on the cross of Calvary. That's where the forgiveness of sin came in. Because they knew there could not be any forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. But they did not know that Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God that was going to shed His own blood for the forgiveness of your sin and mine sin. That's how powerful our merciful Savior, our friend, Jesus, that can change your spiritual destiny and even your physical journey through time. It's in our best interest, I think, then to get to know this friend, particularly in the midst of turbulent seasons like we are in now, society in turmoil and uproar. I don't want to be in that kind of turmoil. I want to serve the one my best friend who gives us peace and joy and love and forgiveness and say, hey guys, let's just work together. Now there's something about that name. There's something else that Jesus, being God, can do for us. He can resurrect the dead, that's for sure, in John chapter 5. And Jesus also said, for as the Father has life in himself, he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God and then the Son of Man. How can that be? Because he was born of the Virgin Mary. He came into this world through the birth canal. He was the Son of God, but then he became also the Son of Man. Experienced everything that you and I experience, up to and including death. But the grave couldn't hold him because of the love and the grace that he had. He was raised from the dead. And to be able to give us hope of eternal life, because the devil would hold that over society all the time. You're surely going to die. Oh, no. Yeah. Well, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he broke that bondage, not only over sin, but over death. What a friend we have in Jesus. And I want to think about it for a moment and remember that Jesus Christ will be judge of all. As I said, the Bible clearly says that first comes death and then the judgment. And Jesus is a gracious and a loving judge, but he will be our judge. But being called judgmental sometimes is one of the hardest criticism that we can endure. When people level that on you, you know, oh, you're judgmental. Don't judge me. What gives you the right to judge me? And I'm not suggesting that we be judgmental or wield the truth like a club. No, but we need to speak the truth to our society with grace, love, mercy, but yet plainly. We must retain the right to discern right from wrong. There is right from wrong. We experience it all the time, and we have to be able to understand that. Some of the laws that we have in our country show us what we should do and what we shouldn't do, but sometimes we break them in the spiritual sense and everywhere else. But people need to realize the objective of right and wrong in this world, for God has absolutely standards or even moral purity. And Jesus will judge those who are outside his blood-bought pardon. Now, as a Christ follower, we don't share the truth with those that we know, because sometimes we're humble and we don't want to do it. I had a friend of mine, and he was not only a friend of mine, he was my body shop manager. He worked for me for about 25 years. And he was also my best drinking buddy. And after I started cleaning my life up in 1986, I went through a period of time I didn't see Billy. And one day I did run into him. And I said, Billy, how come you don't ever come to see me anymore? Well, since you became that Christian thing, you're a different person. He says, and I feel uncomfortable around you. Well, he wasn't ready to make any changes in his life. I didn't make him feel uncomfortable, but it was him being aware of things that he was doing that made him uncomfortable. And here we earthly friend, boom, that I don't have anymore, although I think he might not be with us anymore because he had a lot of health issues beside. But I hope and pray that maybe a seed or two that I planted in his life, that he come to make that decision before he left his earthly home. But as a Christ follower, we need to share the truth with those that we know, our earthly friends, because our service to Christ is so important that we share the peace that passes all understanding, to share what we were like and what we're like now and what happened in between. It's an important story of being a Christ follower. So when we warn others of what the Bible says, we're not mad at them. We're not being ugly or angry. We're inviting them towards the freedom that we have found in Christ. Now, don't you want to tell somebody that God is all about love? Wouldn't you rejoice to see them step into eternity knowing Him as their friend? Because it is a friendship that lasts forever. And the neat thing about being a friend with Jesus is He won't force His friendship on you. It's something that you have to accept. Because He would never want to be a friend with somebody that don't want to be a friend of His. It's almost like children sometimes. Children have an instinct. They know if they're around adults that don't like them or don't want them around. They seem to know. Well, it's the same with our relationship with God. The Holy Spirit don't want to be around somebody that don't want Him. That's why with the invitation with Christ, when you invite Christ into your life, you get Him all. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You don't get Him in pieces. And if you truly want to have that friendship with Jesus, He wants to be your friend, and He'll come in and He'll help you through all kinds of crazy things. Because sometimes when they see Christian people, and I had somebody said to me one time, I remember how you handled such and such, and I don't know how you handled that. I couldn't handle that. Well, it's because I accepted Christ into my life, and He gave me the ability to handle it. So whenever they do see some of us, you don't have to witness and do hellfire and brimstone preaching. Just act your life normal as a child of the living God who has Christ in their life. It's a sharing of the peace that passes all understanding. And John, in John's Gospel chapter 5, Jesus continued on. He said, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in the grave will hear His voice and come out. And those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. That's what He was talking about. Even the wicked in the grave will rise, and they will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, those of us who've been Christ followers, we will also rise and hope and pray that when we get there, and He says, well, what brings you here? Well, Jesus. Oh, good. Come on in. And the ones that didn't accept Christ, I don't know what that's going to take place. I'm not a judge and don't plan on being a judge. But it's such a wonderful thing to know that we have a friend in high places, somebody that intercedes for you. When Jesus went to be with the Father, Scripture says He sits at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Daddy, I know what's going on in their life. I know how they feel. I was there. Yes, I was able to continue to be sinless, and I didn't give in to the sins, but I had all the temptations. And fortunately, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, when Jesus was in the wilderness for those 40 days being tempted, and if you're hungry, then turn these stones into bread. You know all the whole story. But when the devil realized he wasn't going to get through to Jesus, he wasn't going to get Him to sin. So the devil turned with him and said, okay, I'm leaving for now, but I'll be back. He haunted Jesus the whole time that he could, just like the devil does with us. When we change our life and we think we're on the right track and we have trials and tribulations, Jesus said, fear not, for I've overcome the world. Then we just do what Jesus said when Satan was getting too close to Him. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. The same with us. When we face a situation or a temptation, just call it out. For it is written, you shall not tempt my children. And I'll tell you what, it says in the Bible that if you resist the devil, he'll flee, and he does. So our friend is going to oversee the physical resurrection of every human being that ever lived. Now, I can't get my head around that, but I've been thinking about this for days. Jesus is going to say something like this. Come forth and everybody will come back to life in their assigned sequence. Will not simply be reconstituted or resurrected or reincarnated. No, we will be in our glorified bodies that are eternal and imperishable. How can he do this? Well, he is not like us. And when he comes, we will see him in all of his glory. And on that day, I think we'll be amazed at the limited perspective that we have had of Jesus. We'll be ashamed of our reluctance to be identified with him while we were here on this earth. So please take time to consider that the Creator of the universe did something much more than just scattering the stars up in this beautiful universe. He offered himself on the cross to forgive your sins and my sins and provide with us the certainty of eternal life, resurrected life, and more importantly, a glorified body. I know I don't want to take this old broken down body to heaven. I want my glorified body when I go to heaven. No more pain, no more tears, no more suffering. And you know what's nice about that? Not only are we going to get to heaven, and that's an important thing, but if you read that little book of Jude, there's only 26 verses, I think, one chapter, it'll tell you in there, Jude was one of Jesus' half-brothers, it'll tell you in there that when Jesus returns, we, the saints of God, everybody who accepts Christ in their life as a saint, by the way, we as saints of God are going to return with him to set up his kingdom here on earth. And you wonder, well, that's good. And you have a job prepared for you because you've been in training while you were here on this earth. Oh yeah, you've been through some things up and down, but we've been in training. It's just like when you go to the army or different things, 6-8 weeks worth of basic training, they kick you out and you're on your own. When you join the Lord's army, you're in basic training until he comes for us so we go home to be with him. Jesus said, in this life you'll have trials and tribulations, but fear not, I've overcome the world. So all this challenges that we have and all the everything that we go through is in preparation for us for the eternal kingdom job that he has for us when we return with him. So take heart. You're going to have trials and tribulations, but just know your friend has overcome the world. So Jesus is truly a friend. He is a friend like no other. And what a blessing it is to know and experience his mercy and his grace. He's also wise. A little snippet for next week. It says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord. Now that word fear is best translated in my humble opinion as love. But the word fear also means reverence and awe. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So when you love the Lord, you're starting to get all his wisdom and grace. And the knowledge of the Holy One gives us understanding. So next week we're going to talk about Jesus as your wise friend. Wouldn't you like to have the counsel of the wisest person ever to exist? God Almighty.